And since we've been talking about calculating the odds, let's see what higher math can tell us about love. John and Julie Gottman are two of the most famous marriage researchers in the world. They're famous for being able to predict with 94% accuracy whether a couple will split up, stay together and be unhappy, or stay together and be happy. Sounds like magic, but actually, they told Steve Paulson, it's math.
Remember the old experiment we used to do in high school where we take iron filings and put it on a piece of paper and put a magnet under the paper and we'd see the force field of the magnet?
Yeah,
the magnetic
field. Sure.
Right. So, well, what we found is that there is actually a vector field, a force field, when two people who love each other are talking to one another. And the math explains it.
Wow. Now, Julie, I know that you've developed these ingenious ways to study relationships. I mean, for instance, you've designed a lab that looks like a B&B, and you bring couples in there, and you watch them. You watch how they interact with each other, which I have to say is kind of daunting to feel like these experts are watching, you know, how good you are at your relationship. What are some of the most important things you've found?
Well, in part we found, and this was very, very subtle, that when a partner makes a bid for connection, just calling out the other partner's name, for example, how does that other partner respond? If they turn towards the other person and respond to their bid for attention, that's very, very important. If they say nothing, that's not good.
You're talking about in very kind of mundane situations. I don't know. I mean, you're sitting down for breakfast. You're both kind of getting ready for work. And one person puts out an offering there. You know, oh, did you see this in the newspaper, something like that? And that conversation can then play out very differently from there on.
Exactly. The apartment lab sat on the Montlake Cut. It was beautiful. So boats would go by. So if one person was looking out the window and said, wow, look at that beautiful boat, and the other person said nothing, we'd call that turning away. If the other person said, that was turning towards, just the smallest response made a tremendous difference in whether or not couples became friends and stayed friends in their relationship over time.
Because basically you're demonstrating whether or not you show interest in your partner.
Yeah, not only that, Steve, but guess what couples mostly argue about?
What?
It's not money, sex, in-laws, drugs. It's really the failure of the bids to connect. That's what couples argue about.
You're saying they basically argue about nothing.
That's right. They argue about nothing. But when you look at the, you know, the details of it, when you do what Malcolm Gladwell calls thin slicing, you see these attempts to really get close that have been ignored or responded to with irritability. And that's what they're fighting about.
Yeah. Huh. So what's a good fight then?
Well, that's a great question. So a good fight, first of all, begins by what we call a softened startup. So John found in his research that the first 3 minutes of a conflict conversation predicts not only how the rest of the conversation will go, but how the rest of the relationship will go. So a softened startup might sound like, you know, I'm a little bit upset. So they describe their own feelings. Then they describe about what. I'm upset that the bills haven't been paid. Then they state what they need to make it better. Would you please pay the bills tonight? A bad fight, in contrast, would begin with what we call a harsh startup, which would sound like, what's the matter with you? Are you too lazy to pay the bills? It's a criticism.
I want to come back to this thing that you said, that you can determine this within the first 3 minutes of a conversation. I mean, you have this amazing number. I mean, apparently, 96% of the time, you can predict the outcome of a conversation based on how the first 3 minutes are going to go.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We were as surprised by that as, you know, as anybody else.
Well, you've come up with these phrases. You sort of divided couples into two groups. There are the masters and the disasters.
Right.
What are the basic differences?
Well, you know, we have very low standards for what a master is. So, you know, the couples who more or less like each other over time and stay together, those are the masters. They're putting energy into romance and being kind to each other. The disasters really are constantly scanning their partner's behavior and looking for their partner's mistakes, trying to improve their partner. The masters are much more accepting.
Mm-hmm. Let me add to that. The masters and the disasters both criticize, may get even contemptuous or defensive sometimes, but the masters try to repair quickly.
Explain what you mean by repair.
Well, a repair would be something like, you know, I'm sorry the way I started this conversation. Can I start over again? What I'm trying to say is I really need you to, you know, greet me with affection when I come home. You know, that's what I wanted to say in the first place. And I'm sorry I started off being such a jerk about it. That's a repair. Mm. The most effective repair is taking responsibility even for a part of the problem. So if you say, you know, that's a good point, honey. I mean, you know, I probably was pretty grumpy. You know, tell me more. This is the most powerful repair of all. And it's even more powerful when a woman does it for a guy.
Why is that?
Because men really feel like, you know, they're the ones who are always at fault. You know that old joke, if a man speaks in a forest and there's not a woman to hear him, is he still wrong? So guys always feel like, you know, women are saying all the problem is theirs.
So does this mean that guys are more sensitive to criticism or that women are more prone to offer criticism?
You don't agree with me? I think men are more sensitive to criticism.
No, they're not more sensitive to criticism. I think women are quite sensitive to criticism too. But I think here's the big difference. Women feel like they are guardians of the relationship. It's up to them to keep the relationship strong. But what that means is that they're bringing up problems that they see in the relationship. The difficulty is that they don't know how to bring up the problem in ways that are more helpful as opposed to critical.
More gentle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 80% of the time, it's women who bring up the problem. Julie's right.
That's interesting. So if women are the ones who tend to be sort of the caretakers of the relationship, the overseeing the health of the relationship, what's mm-hmm. the guy's role in this?
Well, see, that's a very interesting thing because men play a really critical role. So before our conflict discussion, Bob Levinson and I had couples just talk about how their day went. And the guys who are disinterested, not very positive, they get this harsh startup from their women. So I remember this one guy who said, yeah, why don't you talk about your day? It won't take you very long. So right away, he started with a contemptuous statement, right? Or another guy who, as his wife was talking about something really interesting to her that happened to their two-year-old, he was looking bored, looking at his watch, you know, communicating his boredom. Well, they had harsh startup. So guys are really important in turning toward these bids.
Hmm. I want to come back to this sort of this use of math that you have. I mean, you've come up with a whole series of what you call love equations. And you throw around terms like nonlinear differential equations and emotional velocity and inertia, emotional vector force field. I mean, the kind of stuff that I would expect to read in a physics book, not discussions about love.
Well, I started my career in math and physics, and the numbers allow you to discover patterns that are really invisible to clinicians. For example, Bob Levinson did a study where he took the first 3 minutes of conflict for five couples who eventually divorced and five couples who stayed together. And he had experts try to tell for the first 3 minutes which ones would divorce and which ones would stay together. And nobody was better than chance at doing it. But when you get the numbers, we can discriminate with over 90% accuracy.
When you say you get the numbers, what do you mean? What are you adding up?
Well, we're really looking at a whole variety of things. First of all, we're looking at facial expressions, voice patterns and behaviors and the way people look at each other, how they respond to one another. We're actually looking at their heart rate, how fast their blood is flowing, how much they're sweating from the palms of their hands. And we put those in terms of numbers. And the numbers wind up telling us these differences. So we get kind of a real subtle discrimination between what makes a relationship work and what makes it fall apart.
So you have more than 40, what you call principles of love.
Right.
So I hate to ask this, but if there is one takeaway that you can leave us with, you know, one thing that you wish every couple listening to this would sort of go home and try, what would it be?
I think the most important principle is empathy, actually, is to turn towards your partner and listen with empathy. What we have found is that it makes a huge difference. So if John hears me complaining about something in the relationship and he responds in the way that he has lately, which is heaven, by saying, "Honey, what do you need?" I fall over in bliss. I'm so happy. So, you know, it's that kind of response, turning toward with empathy, that really makes a difference.
She's really smart.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Marriage researchers John and Julie Gottman with Steve Paulson, who is incidentally my husband. For more about the Gottmans' research and their many books, look them up at the Gottman Institute.